today I am with you today and next week, back-to-back Sundays. And so I'm going to be bringing a story. I'm going to give you the text of the story that I'm going to be bringing to you from the Bible. And here's what I would rather you do. I mean, if you want to follow along in your Bible, that would be fine. But I don't want you to miss out on the story. So my preference would be that you would write down the text so that after we're done, sometime today or sometime this week, you can go back to the text and read it, you know, at least once during the week. Because what's going to happen is I'm going to finish part two of the story next Sunday, because I'm with you next Sunday as well, okay? So let me pray first. I'll give you the text, and then we'll get started. How's that? Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to praise you and bless you, Father, for your kindness and your goodness to us. Thank you for bringing us together. I pray not only for this side of the church and our gathering, but also for the other side as they meet together and they're praising you and worshiping you there as well. I pray that you would anoint the speaker to bring your word to your people, and that together, Father, we would honor you in everything that we say and do. Bless us now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, the text for today is 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I am going to read from verses 1 through verse 16. But here's how I'm going to do it, okay? Because I want you to give me all your attention, I'm asking that you don't take, that you not take any notes and just don't follow with me in the Bible. You can read it later. But I want to read this account, these 16 verses, and I'm going to pause and punctuate some sections of the text and then make application for us today, okay? So that, you know, what good is it for us to read a story, but, you know, and not make application to it? Because the purpose of preaching is to give the listener God's word, but also, okay, here's what the Bible says, and here's how you apply it to your own life today. Because even though this was written thousands of years ago, it does have application for us today. Okay? So this is the story, and it starts out by, the headline is, Haman healed of leprosy. Okay? He was a leper. And he had leprosy throughout his body. And let's listen to this account, because there are three points that I'm going to bring out for all of us. Okay? And then I'm going to finish the story next week with some more points above and beyond what I'm going to give you now. So it starts out by reading like this. Chapter 5 of 2 Kings, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Now, basically, this man Naaman was a high-ranking officer. He was not just a typical soldier, he ranked up there very highly, okay? So it says, he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a violent soldier, but he had leprosy. This was a soldier, a man, a high-ranking officer that was well-respected, okay? Because many blessings, many good things happened that came from the Lord to the king of Aram as a result of Naaman. But he had leprosy. Now, this is the story. Now, now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Okay? Now, here's the story now. Here's Naaman with his wife and family. Naaman has leprosy. How many of you, first of all, know what leprosy is? Yes, can you tell me? Huh? Yeah, and it basically affects the whole body. You get boils, I mean, your whole figure changes. Sometimes people can't even recognize you. It is, if you look at someone with leprosy, you look at them, you say, oh, wow, it's that bad. Now, here's this officer, his wife and family, and some of the bands of the king of Aram, they take young girl from Israel, and they make that young girl, as it were, a servant of Haman's wife. It would be like taking one of you young ladies away from your family and your community and saying, okay, now you're going to serve this household. You're going to be this mistress, meaning Haman's wife. You're going to serve her because they need help. Okay? You follow me with the story so far? Okay, now let's continue here. This is what it says. Then it goes on to say, she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, who would cure him of his leprosy. Stay with me because this is a fascinating story now. The young girl that comes over here says to Haman's wife, if only my master, by my master, she's referring to Haman, your husband, if only your husband would recognize that there is a prophet in Israel that could heal him. Take that leprosy away, okay? You with me? Okay, goes on like this. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now stay with me. The girl is taken from Israel. The girl goes to Naaman's house. The girl tells Naaman's wife, if only my master would know that there is the king of Israel can take away the prophet. There's a prophet in Israel that can take away the leprosy. His wife tells Naaman. Naaman goes to the king and says to the king, listen, I understand that in Israel there's a prophet that can take away my leprosy. Can I go to Israel and have my leprosy taken away? The king says to Naaman, by all means, go ahead. In fact, not only am I going to give you permission to go and get this thing done, I'm even going to write a letter to the king of Israel to go ahead and get rid of this leprosy from you. Okay? So he takes with him gifts. Because if he is cured of his leprosy, he just doesn't want to go there, get cured, and leave. He wants to compensate the king, the prophet. In other words, if he's cured, he wants to say, look, I have things that I want to give you in return. In other words, I want to pay you back for what you've done. Okay, you with me so far, right? Okay, so now, let's go on with the story now. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Now, this is very interesting and fascinating. You have two kings, the king of Aram and the king of Israel. The king of Aram sends Naaman over with a letter saying to the king of Israel, heal this servant of mine of his leprosy. Take his leprosy away. The king of Israel reads the letter, but he says, well, wait a minute. I can't take his leprosy away. Who am I? Am I God to take away his leprosy? That would be the equivalent of me saying to this young man over here, hey, my daughter, in fact, my wife is not with me today because she's fighting a very bad cold, and my oldest daughter, who's almost 20, is coming down with like a flu-like, you know, she's got like flu-like symptoms. Back hurts, she's chilling, she's got a temperature. So that would be like me saying to this young man, do me a favor, go home and heal my daughter. And he would be saying, well, am I God that I can heal your daughter? I mean, what power do I have? That's what we see here. So this king is thinking, the king of Aram is trying to pick a fight with me. Because if I don't do what he instructed in his letter for me to do, then that's going to create a war, and that's not going to be good. He's trying to pick a fight, basically, is what he's saying here. Let's read on. It gets fascinating. In comes Elisha, the prophet. Some of you have heard of Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, who is a disciple of Elijah. You got Elijah, then you got Elijah leaves the scene, and Elisha comes in. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robe? Question. Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. In other words, somehow, someone went to Elisha and said, oh, the king of Israel tore his clothes off and his robe off, and he's hurting and he's emotional and distressed, and they told him basically what it was, what was going on. So Elijah says, wait a minute. Go tell him, why did he do that? Have the man Naaman come to me, and I will demonstrate to him that Israel has a God, basically. That Israel has a prophet, a God. Verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So Naaman comes with his men and horses and chariots, and before he doesn't even see Elijah. Elisha sends a messenger out to Naaman and says, do me a favor, go tell Naaman to go to the River Jordan and dip himself 7 times, and he will be healed. His skin will be cleansed. He'll be healed. Now, you think that Naaman would just go do what he was instructed to do. But something fascinating happens. Listen to this as I read. Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Okay? I got to stop every time I read some of this because I want to explain it. Now remember, Elisha sends a messenger and says, go tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Now, Naaman gets mad. Because what Naaman thought was going to happen did not happen. He thought that Elisha was going to come to him, take a, somehow say, abracadabra, hocus pocus, boom, you're healed. But that's not what happened. See, he thought he was just going to wave something around his head, and poof, the leprosy was going to be gone. So he was upset. He didn't even come out here and meet me. I thought he was going to come and say a few words, and I was going to be healed, but that's not what happened. He goes on to say, are not Abana and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. In other words, listen to this. This is fabulous. Basically, he's saying this. I am frustrated. I am frustrated because this guy is telling me to dip 7 times in the Jordan when I have 2 rivers in my town that are in better condition than this river is. So why should I dip myself in this river and not in the ones that I have back home that are in better condition than this one? We have better rivers. That would be like me saying, go dip 7 times over in Wollaston Beach And you know that beach, they've done a lot of construction, but the water is not the cleanest or anything like that. Versus telling you to dip seven times in a nice clean pool. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, you're telling me to go into dirty water when there's water over here that's more cleaner, more pure, and it doesn't make any sense. So he turned around and he went in a rage. He was mad. He's basically saying, this is a waste of time. I should have stayed home. What's up with all this? And then it goes on to say this. Verse 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So what happens here, it's something. Let me ask you a question. Let me pause here for a moment and ask you this question. You don't have to answer it. What I'd like you to do is ponder on this question. Have you ever been so mad that either a sibling or one of your parents try to talk sense into you and you don't want to listen? In other words, suppose you ask your mom to let you go somewhere, and she says, talk to your father, which happens in my house all the time. Every time. My daughter's at the mall right now. So my daughter comes to my wife yesterday and says, mom, can I go to the mall tomorrow with Teresa? Talk to your father. It's one of those, talk to your father. So I said, okay, and this time I said, yeah, that's fine. You got a couple of hours. You can go to the mall a couple of hours. You know, I'll pick you up at 3 o'clock, which I'm going to do after I get done here. But there have been times when I say no. So my daughter gets disappointed. We say disappointed to put it mildly, but she's mad. And she's upset. I can't believe that. So her mother will say, well, honey, you have to understand that her dad didn't. Well, she doesn't want to listen. She's like stubborn or, I mean, she doesn't disrespect us, but she's still mad. So I'm sure that's happened to some of you. Where, you know, people try to reason with you and you don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm mad. She shouldn't have borrowed my brush. She shouldn't have done this. She shouldn't have done that. Oh, he shouldn't have taken my basketball without asking. That kind of stuff. This is what's happening here. Naaman is told what to do. And he's mad because he does not want to go into a dirty river when he's got two rivers back home that are cleaner than this one. Now, furthermore, Elisha didn't have the guts or the audacity to come and meet him face to face. He sent someone. He was not happy with that either. But here comes the servant and tries to reason with Naaman. And he says, Master or Father, he calls him. If the prophet had told you to do something big, something really nice, would you have done it? Yeah, I would have. He said, well, go ahead and do what he's telling you to do. Forget about it. Just dip seven times. So what does he do? He goes into the river. He dips himself seven times as he was instructed. He comes up, and what does it say? His skin was that of a young boy. He was healed. Now, remember how I told you in the beginning of the story how not only did he come to Israel with a letter, but he came with gold. Remember? He came with clothing and silver and all that kind of stuff. This is the reason why he brought it. Let me read on. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, this being Elisha, and he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. Except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, the prophet Elisha answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. That's where I'm going to stop, and I'm going to finish the story next week. But here's what I want to say. Naaman comes out of the water. He looks at himself. There was no mirrors back then. At least I don't think so. Maybe there were. But he looks at himself and he says, "Boy, I'm young again. Look at my skin, that of a young boy." He's probably going like this, and all the people are telling him, "Wow, yeah, all the leprosy's gone. And here, check my back. Everything back there. Are you sure?" He's probably doing one of these, you know. "And no, you're clean. Everything looks good." He's excited. He goes back to the prophet Elijah and he says, "Listen, you have cured me." Now I'm dramatizing this a little bit, but you can imagine it going something like this. He says, "I'm cured. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen, here's what I want to do. I want to pay you back for what you've done. Here, please, please, at least take this 2 liter of Coke. At least you can have that. And if you get thirsty later, take a drink. Please." Hey, he says, the prophet says, No. "As long as the Lord lives, I am not taking anything from you." No, I don't. But what does it say? The Bible goes on to say that he urged him. No. You don't understand. You don't want to take this coat. But what I'm telling you is, please take it. No. Have you ever had something like that? I know as adults, my mother-in-law does this all the time. My mother-in-law is 84 years old and she lives in Dedham. Now, we live in Quincy. She has this habit of whenever we go there in the summer to help her with the grass, to cut the grass and all that, she's always wanting to compensate us. "Well, here, gas money. Mom, it doesn't cost us much to get over here." No. "Here, you got to take gas money." "Mom, no. And I say to my wife, "Honey, come on, let's just go." Well, she'll find a way to just shove it into my wife's purse or whatever. I mean, she's got to pay, and that makes her feel good. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there are some people that like to push a reward on someone for what they have done. This is what we have here. He said, "You don't understand. I want you to take this." Naaman says, No. Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer this question. And I thought about this illustration yesterday, knowing that I was going to be here with you today. If I said to one of you, the young men here, or one of you young ladies, and I gave you the keys to my car, and I say, "Do me a favor. In the front seat, passenger seat of the car, I left a bag that I really need. Would you please go get it for me?" And I give you my keys, and you go over there. You open the car, you get the bag, and you bring it to me, and you give me the keys in the bag. And I say, "Thank you very much. Here, here's $5. I wonder how many of you would take the $5. Or, I wonder how many of you would say, "No, Pastor, you don't have to do that. It was just a favor. You don't have to pay me for that. All I did was just go to your car and got you the bag and that's it." No, but here, please, take the $5. I wonder how many of you would take it. But here's the moral of the story. If you take the $5, chances are that by next Sunday, you would have spent the $5. If you had not taken the $5 and done it out of the kindness of your heart and recognized that you did me a favor and not a service, because we pay for services, we ought not to be paying for favors. You follow what I'm saying? You have to recognize that God will reward you far more than $5. In some way, somehow, in His perfect timing, God is going to reward that favor that you lent me, as it were, or you did for me, in a far greater way than me compensating you $5. Even though $5 seems like, I can buy some gum, I can go to iTunes and download some music. For $5, I can get 5 songs at 99 cents a piece. Okay? Now, let me give you the 3 points, and then there's a part two to this song, to this message, which I'll bring next week. But let me leave you with the 3 points of today. Number one, as I read the story, this is, look at the snow coming down, eh? As I read, oh, I took their attention away. That was a mistake. Okay, let's focus over here. I only have about another minute. Okay, as I read the story, there were three principles that jumped out at me. And I want to leave them to you, okay? Number one, always remember, I wrote it on my Bible here, always remember and be on the lookout for those that are able to help. Okay? Here's a young girl taken from Israel where Elijah was, brought over to Naaman's house, and the young girl says, you know what? There is a prophet in Israel that can take that leprosy away. Not only did his wife listen, but Naaman listened, and Naaman went to his king and asked him for permission to go to Israel to get healed. So there were a lot of people involved. So I say this, don't think for a moment that you can take it upon yourself to get everything accomplished in life. We need the help of other people. Okay? And when help is offered, take it. Don't say no to it. Oh, I can do this myself. It's like me saying, oh yeah, I'm going to fold up all these tables and get rid of them so that we can have an open space here. It's like Adrian saying, well, let me give you a hand. And me saying, no, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll do it myself. Hey, you want to help me? Sure, man. Come, the more the better. Let's all do it. Sure. Accept the help of others. The second point I want to point here is, do not let pride get in the way. Naaman was mad for two reasons. A, Elijah did not come out to meet him. B, he's being told to dip in a dirty river. I don't mean to be gross, and I tend to be kind of... But that would be like me telling you, your hands are dirty, go into the bathroom and use toilet water to wash your hands. And you're coming back and saying, that's pretty disgusting. Why can't I use the water in the sink? No, because that water is better. Go. And you're saying like, that doesn't make any sense. That's why he's mad. It's pride in the way. Don't let pride get in the way. When an adult or a senior person or Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a youth leader or someone is giving you good advice, don't let your pride get in the way. Dismiss it. Number three. Don't, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God and not for selfish gain. This is what I mean by that. Suppose the illustration of the car and the bag and the $5. Suppose I did that and I said, well, here, thank you for doing that. Here's $5. And suppose he took it. I'm not going to pass judgment. I mean, I offered it to him. So he takes the $5 and that's it. That's the end of that. The next week, I ask for a volunteer to do the same thing and everybody jumps up. Because, wait a minute, last week he gave him $5. This week he might give 10. I want to do it. You know, why? Because you have a funny feeling you're going to get something in return. Do you follow what I'm saying? But rather, do what you do for the glory of God and not for selfish gain. Don't do it because you're going to get something in return. But rather, do it because you're going to glorify your Father in what you did. Okay? Let me pray, and we're going to finish this story next week because the story gets real good next week. Did you understand the story here? It's called The Story of Naaman's Leprosy and the Healing of Naaman's Leprosy. Now, part two has to do with a man named Gehazi. Gehazi, okay? And I'll explain it next week. It's fascinating. Let's pray.